Now by the lakeside, staring out over it with arousal throbbing through your body, feeling the liquid strength and vitality inside your form, having been served it alluringly out of that young woman's mouth. You feel the throb and remember the caress of her flesh, and you certainly took the little note with a map to their shop and held it in your hand, brought it with you. There are always little rowboats around the lake. Generally, people are fine with anybody using them, long as you put them back when you're done. You can traverse the islands if you're brave enough to do so. You may be turned on, but you're still clear and smart enough to find the edge of the lake closest to the island on the map, closest to their island. You look out at it, but it's shrouded in fog from here on the shore. You take a boat, a nearby rowboat, dragging it lightly through the shallows, lining up the prow so it's pointed straight toward the island. It will be a short rowing journey. Throb, throb, throb. The blood rushing in your veins also informs you of a never-decreasing sexual need. It isn't that your arousal is growing, because that's already at its peak. Your breathing is deep and shuddering. Your body is in a sensitized, heightened state of awareness. Even in the cool breeze over the lake, as you climb into the boat, position yourself, and look toward that mist-shrouded isle, your skin is presently too warm to be bothered by any breeze, even out over the water. In fact, you feel warm from the inside out, and you tremble as you take your position in the boat. Sitting against the plank within causes you to tremble. There's pleasure even in that, and in the feel of your hands gripping the oars, wishing you were gripping that young woman's hips, pulling her against you, cradling and whispering all of your sensual fantasies. Of course, getting them in order to get them out might be quite difficult, with that constant throb, 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 pleasure, pleasure, the shake and shiver of those tremors of palpable lust moving through your body. You begin moving the oars, and even that is perilously sensual. The island comes slowly into view. You hear birdsong from the shore, see trees framing a beach, but you made the route so short across the lake by moving to this location that it is very quick indeed that you've made landing. You'll soon be able to get a cure for that aphrodisiac still throbbing in your belly. It has made you vital, but also horny, needy, sensitive beyond words, and unable to climax. Powered by your lust, you row ever more quickly, and you have finally maneuvered the boat up against a dock, tying it off. You tether your boat to it, noting several others. A few are like yours, but most are the strange bowl-like craft that the fetish cultists propel via magic across the lake, meditating over a central structure that looks like it would be a mast if it bore any sail, and which spreads out into a little roof to protect the boats from the weather. You look at the island proper, now that you need no longer focus on rowing. There's an entire village here. You appear to be at the southwest edge of an island so big you're amazed it even exists on this lake. But you can't look a long way away, because right in front of you, you see the little stall that the woman was staffing on shore, the potion stand, and behind it, a modest shop with a glass front window. You would inspect the rest of the island. It looks like an entire city, after all. But frankly, you're too focused at the moment. You stumble toward the door of the shop, maintaining your footing. You need to get the promised cure, whatever it takes, to get this throbbing, resonating need out of your system, and maybe get paid in the process. Honestly, the priorities are somewhat jumbled in your head, but you can get that off your chest once you get the lustful fantasies and lewd, invasive thoughts out of your head. And this feeling of tingling arousal from between your legs. Inside the shop, you see a number of figures already here. There are five. You recognize two of them. One is the young lady from the shore. The other is her sister, a fairy in a revealing purple outfit, so diminutive she could stand on the palm of your hand. They must not be related that way, or else one of them has gone through quite a vast transformation. Nonetheless, those questions can be asked later. Everyone in the shop has very revealing clothing. All five women are talking amongst themselves, or rather the three you don't recognize are speaking to the woman and the fairy from your rendezvous. "Congratulations," declares a woman with short purple hair. She's wearing a midriff-bearing shirt and vest combo, sleeveless. She's speaking to the woman you were grinding against on the shore. Your previous partner looks very happy, overjoyed at the praise flowing her way, brown hair bouncing as she cants her head to one side with a grin, her eyes closed in pleasure. The fairy just floats nearby, slightly higher, looking superior and apart from it all. You step forward into clear view. The shop is crowded with shelves and display cases, like a cross between a supermarket and a jewelry shop. You see several strange machines with little windows against one wall. They have prices posted, buttons to select one's purchase, and a slot for gems to be weighed. The front window looks in on a few display cases that seem to contain the most alluring, sparkly objects, presumably to draw people inside off the street that runs in front of the shop. There's a back counter for purchases, with an iron box covered in numbered buttons. Some place for holding payment. The woman you know rushes over once you step into the shop proper. "Hey, it's thanks to you. I'm paid off so quick. The guild wants to use the alchemic recipe, the one we figured out when using your fluids to make a cure. They're buying it off us. My debt is paid off." She looks happy. And you think that's quite nice, of course. But your hands are between your legs, and your mouth is open a little bit to moan freely. She looks surprised, then remembers. "Oh, right, you're still like that. Well, the cure is at the guild being investigated. What do we do?" She turns to the fairy nearby. The other women in the room are watching, apparently bewildered at this state of events. "Well, we'll have to synthesize more of the cure. That's going on right now in the back room. But while we have you here and horny, why don't we take advantage? You can help with another project on the research agenda. To pay us for what you're going to use, we'll let you buy the new potion when we finish up." The other three women step forward. They appear flushed, but eager to assist in whatever the fairy's talking about. One woman is wearing a pink silk robe-like outfit with a green waist sash and a pair of armored gloves. She slips the latter off, placing them on a counter, then looks down shyly. She has long brown hair, long down to her buttocks, unlike the woman from the shore whose hair only reaches the base of her neck. Now the purple-haired one from before has likewise stepped up, hands on her hips, confident in appraising you. The final new woman is short. She has pointed ears and untidy red hair. The fairy moves up behind you and her sister. The sister is already stripping out of her shirt and overalls, revealing more of her body. It is beautiful, still curved hips, still pleasant breasts, nothing wasted, everything alluring. She is no longer gripped by that profound arousal which controlled you both before. But it does still control you. Your legs shiver, your knees quake at this display of nubile feminine flesh. You're close to coming, just from the air against your skin. But you know climax is impossible until the antidote is inside you as well. You feel like you could go forever, just pleasuring, being pleasured. But part of you remembers what release was like and wants it. You nod, gesturing to your own sticky state to indicate your sexual fluids are available for them. They can use them in their potions all they want, as long as they help you get off in the process. If only they will free you from this constant invasive pressuring pleasure which flows from within and yet intrudes from without. The fairy explains they can't help yet. Yes, but we can't cure you because the prototype potion we remade is being used to make more cure. So, while we have you in this state, let's get the key ingredients for this new potion. Fluids from you, as someone who is under effect of the vitality potion, and fluids from your assistants here. She gestures broadly at the four women, and then flutters backward, receding out of reach. It appears she won't be participating. Her explanation is cool and calm, but she turns her bespectacled eyes to your clothing and gestures to a hat rack for you to hang it on. "Here, let me help you out of those," cries the young woman from the lakeshore. Her associates move to the middle of the shop and begin reorganizing, even as your former partner, now new partner, begins running her hands over you, pulling your clothes aside. The shelves and display cases are being pushed out of the way by the other assistants. Then, clean, cool sheets are pulled from a closet. They lay these out on the floor, and a huge cushion is dragged from one corner of the room to the middle, practically a bed in its own right. From some cabinet, they produce additional pillows and lay them out, too. There's now a clear space as comfortable as any you could ask for. The enthusiastic brunette from the lakeshore pulls your clothes off and drapes them over that hat rack. She is by now nude again as well, her nipples pointed, her breath quick. She whispers in your ear as if it were a secret. "My name is Risa, by the way." She isn't as turned on as she was before, but she's just as energetic, so their cure must work. That reassures you. Yet her enthusiasm is still infectious. She just stands next to you, rubbing her body against you, nipples scraping your arm now and then, painting your bare thigh with her juices. The woman with the short purple hair steps forward, and then, separating you from the partner with deft strength, pushes you onto the cushion. You fall away from the short-haired brunette. "We can't waste time now." She sounds cheerful enough. Her purple hair is shiny and bouncy as it sways when a deft motion removes her vest and shirt as well. She stands there, giving you time to appraise her. Massive breasts with indented nipples that are just beginning to harden and poke outward. The fairy is hovering over the whole occasion, simply watching as the women who will be helping you introduce themselves. The fairy has a clipboard and is making notes. That purple-haired girl unbuttons her pants, long cargo pants, and slides them down her body with a tantalizing movement back and forth of her hips, using that alone to cause them to bunch around her feet and fall down long, smooth legs. Risa is still standing where she was, pouting. With an acrobatic flourish, the large-breasted new woman lands next to you. A single, silent, gentle impact. The cushion isn't even disturbed. She must be agile indeed. "Charmed to meet ya. I'm the friendly neighborhood thief." You don't really have much time to react to that pronouncement before Risa moves forward, not one to be left out, and once more takes up her station by your side. Now you're sandwiched on one side by the horny, short-haired brunette, and the other by the tall, purple-haired thief. The fairy hovers above and surveils the scene. The other two girls are closing curtains across the window and turning the shop sign to say, "Be back soon." You notice there's a little indicator where they write 1 hour, before shutting a shutter behind the front door. An hour sounds nice to you. Your body remains just as hot. Your mind certainly won't let you forget that either. You constantly feel the throbbing of your highly sensitive skin. The thief girl on one side rubs her large breasts against your arm and leans in to blow into your ear before capturing your earlobe in her nipping, mischievous lips and teeth. The girl on the other side is doing her best to hump your leg. Eager and enthusiastic, the puppy image fits her. She leans in to nip your ear as well, but just ends up licking behind it. She's rubbing her wet sex against you, still painting your thigh, getting a head start on fluid production. But you get the sense she's also trying to murk you a little bit. She's moaning and shivering now and then like she's gonna get off already. You're envious. You must really like this customer, huh, Risa? Asks the purple-haired girl as she licks your neck. Oh, I had fun. I showed off my panties. Risa looks sad for a moment, mourning her lost sexy panties. You look up, your mouth gaping open and body twitching. Both of your hands slide between your legs. You've kept them away as long as you could, trying to be polite. But you begin to work away, trying to masturbate to orgasm despite your knowledge that it will be futile until you get the cure. That you are chastened and bound by a liquid you drank so willingly from those beautiful lips that are licking and smooching along your ear right now. You hear the fairy from high above. The door is locked and you know you're warm and safe. And she says, "Now, Nancy, Teal, get undressed and join them. You will need to produce a large amount of sexual fluid for this, so we will pool everyone's results. Please, others, be pleased yourself. It matters not. I will observe to keep things under control. Do your best, though in your form I guess we don't have to worry about our customer getting exhausted by orgasm." You hear the smirk in her voice. She knows just what you can't do.